Elder Simpson was born and lives in the Salt Lake City area, and this gives a false impression, although it's a true statement. It overlooks the fact that all his formal schooling and years of work in Southern California, the 9 years he lived in New Zealand, his war service in North Africa and the Middle East, 3 years in London presiding over the East London Mission, more than 2 years as president of the Los Angeles Temple, and years as executive administrator in the Southeast Asia Philippines area. A world traveler, and I understand that he is on the road as much as he is at home nowadays. He has included in his travels trips to the, executive accompanying the BYU folk dancers into Eastern Europe and Russia. In a talk at BYU in 1978, and no doubt many times since, Elder Simpson has said, "People are people, and it doesn't matter whether one is in Salt Lake City or in London, England, or in the island of Hapai in Tonga. The church moves forward, and people can be lifted up." He has seen it and is seeing it happen throughout the world. Elder Simpson graduated from Santa Monica City College, spent 3 years on a mission in New Zealand, and participated in World War II as a captain in the Air Force. Upon his return to Southern California, he went to work for the Pacific Telephone Company, where he stayed for 20 years until his second call to New Zealand, this time as mission president. That service was terminated by his call as a general authority in 1961 when he became a counselor in the presiding bishopric. In 1972, he was an assistant at the Council of 12. He was managing director of the Church Social Services Department, and a position which I know personally he loved very much. In one conference talk, Elder Simpson paid tribute to the spear carriers in the church, those who do the work that must be done, no matter where or what it is, not the stars in life's play, but the support people. And it's been my observation that he does his spear carrying in the front ranks, usually. Elder Simpson has lived his life with willingness to serve wherever the Lord might call him. His lovely wife is Geraldine Catherine Chandler Simpson. They're the parents of 4 children, 3 of whom are living. Elder Simpson.
My beloved young friends of Brigham Young University, it's really good to be with you. Our instruction this evening will be directed to the Savior, with some reference to missionary work. And I would just like to mention that all missionary work is centered in the life of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you know, missionary work is one of 3 great Latter-day objectives recently identified by the First Presidency of the Church. And these 3 are to proclaim the gospel, to perfect the saints, and to redeem the dead. Now, may I take the license of placing, strengthening the members of the church ahead of converting the world. For it is my firm conviction that without a strong, believing, converted, and obedient membership in this church, our efforts to convert the world would indeed become ineffective. Like the bright flame deprived of fuel, it would weaken, then flicker, and eventually die. Only as members are strong and as missionary work goes forward without restraint can we provide salvation for the dead, which, according to the Lord, without which, according to the Lord, the whole earth would be utterly wasted at his coming. That makes it fairly important, in my opinion. Conversion to the gospel of Jesus Christ is essential to salvation. His work and his glory cannot be achieved except for the immortality and eternal life of man. Man, as he is now constituted here in mortality, has worldly attributes that need to be changed. I think Mosiah said it well in the third chapter of Mosiah. May I quote? "For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever, unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willingness to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." Close quote. Indeed, conversion consists of forsaking the world and becoming Christ-like, of controlling our patience and overcoming the ways of the world, of walking in a newness of life through continued obedience. All of this comes about through baptism and conversion to the church. This was further confirmed by Alma following his dramatic conversion, and you can read that in the 27th chapter of Mosiah. I won't take time to read it at this time. Repent, be baptized, and become converted. Now, traditionally we say, repent and be baptized. I would like to underline the word converted. It is a continuing process that continues with every member of the church throughout eternity. We must do something about it. We must let the world know what the Lord's plan is. Now, as suggested earlier, I would like to place strong overtones on missionary work as we approach our obligation to the Savior. Successful missionary work happens best when there is a foundation of faithful church members. I like to think of a faithful Latter-day Saint home as being the prime source of our missionaries. Those missionaries who travel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. For it's in the home that the desire is planted to one day answer the call of a prophet. Number two, in these homes and in the Latter-day Saint testimony, we find those that are anxious to reach out and lift up, and to find people who might be taught by the missionaries. Your example as a Latter-day Saint, your prayerful consideration of which of your friends might be truly honest in heart, these are prime considerations. I think that only faithful members of the church are willing to fellowship new members, to follow that great admonition given to Peter. Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Secondly, I feel that successful missionary work happens best with a core of well-disciplined and caring missionaries who teach and testify with a spirit. Now, we're all very familiar with the great work that goes on in our missionary training center here. Most of you may not know that we now have missionary training centers in not only Provo, but also in Tokyo, in New Zealand, in Mexico, in Chile, in Brazil, and in the Philippines as of about 2 weeks ago. Brother Ostagar made some interesting observations in this month's issue of The New Era. You may want to take time to read that. It's most interesting. And he concludes by saying that everyone who comes to the Missionary Training Center has a common question. How do you do it? How do you train these young people? How is it possible to have them go out with this feeling? And then, of course, as we try to explain it to them, they hear in our explanation such words as testimony, faith, prayer, gifts of the Spirit, righteous living, and they just walk away shaking their heads. They don't quite know how to approach that. Well, This training that our young people receive in this church is one of a kind because of that special dimension that makes them willing to follow the Savior of the world and to do what needs to be done. I mentioned the training center down in Manila. Just opened about 2 weeks ago. Had a letter from the director of the training center just day before yesterday. He describes the situation as the missionaries came to the center that week. Some arrived with personal problems. Three were sick. One fainted and had to be restored with a priesthood blessing. He immediately recovered, of course. One cut his finger in the fan. One has an invisible companion, which he says is trying to convince him not to serve on a mission. I'm pleased to report to you that the missionary made it. The invisible companion dropped out on the second day. Some have word of wisdom problems in the past. Many were homesick on that first night or two. All have been counseled, loved, and taught. And when they left with tears of joy, love, and gratitude. And my wife and I received many love notes slipped under our door. They were starting to feel like missionaries. And without the Lord and the Savior as the center core of our missionary training program and the Latter-day Saint home, none of this could really happen. A testimony of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the key to everything this church stands for. Personal testimony brings power, power over darkness, power over evil. And I want to bear testimony to you that the power and strength of this church is not at 47 East South Temple. I know after 22 years of traveling throughout the length and breadth of this world and around this church, I want to bear witness to you that the real strength and power of this church is in the Latter-day Saint home and in the testimony of each and every individual member of this church. And this church will never be any stronger than the testimonies of its various members. Well, there are certain deterrents to a strong testimony of the church. I speak of fear, apathy, indifference towards our neighbors, uncertainty. Many of you have been on a mission. You felt many of these things creeping in from time to time, threatening the effectiveness of your work, threatening your testimony. I would like you to know that when we gain a testimony of the Savior, as that testimony increases, line upon line, precept upon precept, being a little better today than we were yesterday, never letting it stop, never letting it turn around, when that kind of testimony takes over, then we gain confidence, and that confidence replaces fear. Then we generate enthusiasm, and that enthusiasm overcomes apathy. Then we learn about love, which eliminates any indifference that we might have had towards our neighbors. And that experience enriches our faith, which bridges the gap of uncertainty. Yes, let me bear a testimony to you, and let me also share one or two short stories in conclusion that might help you to catch the spirit of what I'm saying. Confidence in the heart of a member, confidence overcoming fear. Come with me down to New Zealand. A young man in the first week of his mission hadn't said a word during the discussion, and the man being taught wasn't really very impressed at that point. But as they were leaving, the young missionary, with trembling voice and with a shaky hand, said, "Sir, if you'll take this pamphlet and read it with a spirit of prayer in your heart, I want to testify to you that the truth of it will be manifest to you." That took courage in the heart of this young missionary. He was new and he was afraid, but he did it. And you'll be interested to know that the man who took that pamphlet that day became a bishop and a stake president and a regional representative today. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm overcomes apathy and resignation. Let me tell you about a young man in India. We met him just a few months ago. He'd only been in the church about a year. Raj Kumar. And Raj says, "Brother and Sister Simpson, this church, it's wonderful. I want to fill a mission." He's now serving in the Fresno Mission down in California. We sent him to the uttermost bounds of the earth. And then he said to us, "My people need to hear about this." He said, "I've been taught all of my life that if I'm a good boy and if I do all the right things, I'm going to have the privilege of being reincarnated as a frog or a bird or some other animal. And now I find out I can be like my Heavenly Father and I can live in His presence. I can be exalted." He said, 700 million people need to feel like I feel. And when Raj Kumar gets back to India, a lot of people will begin to feel like he does, because he's going to be able to teach them. We have 8 missionary couples in India, but they can't go out and proselyte. That's a restriction because we're expatriates. But when Raj and 5 others now serving out of India come back to India, we're going to be a large church in India. The church will grow. Only about 300 members now, but you mark it down that India will be a great stalwart of the church not too many years from now. Well, racing with the clock. One other story. Talk about love. Love is a part of missionary work. Love is a part of home teaching. Love is a part of compassionate service with the Relief Society. It doesn't matter in which framework we talk about it. But let me tell you about love in the Philippines. A missionary that just came home probably in the last 4 or 5 months. He might even be here tonight. A young missionary who had success. But when he arrived in the mission field, the mission president was quite concerned. He had a significant loss of hearing. He had abnormal eyesight. He had a speech impediment. He didn't have most of the things going for him that other missionaries had. And then, on the eve of his departure, how many converts? And so they started to look it up. Would you believe 200 convert baptisms with a hearing loss, with abnormal eyesight, with a speech impediment? Why? Because he had a great capacity for love. He had a capacity for love that was greater than all outdoors. And these people recognize when people really love them. And so do most other people in the world. And so do your neighbors right next door. Love is the key to success in this church. We need to have greater capacity for love. And then, my last story, a new convert in England telling me how he felt about the church. And he'd only been in the church about 4 months. "Tell me about your conversion." And then he told me that he was doing his gardening on his knees, working the soil. And he didn't even hear them come up, but behind him a voice. And the voice said, "Sir, do you love the Lord?" He said, "I thought an angel was speaking." I stood up and I turned around and there were 2 angels there. "Of course I love the Lord. Come in the house and let's talk about it." Pure faith, pure love, courage, all the things that come by personal testimony. Young people, may the Lord bless us, that we might be able to dispel fear, that we might replace apathy, that we might overcome indifference and build faith. As we build our personal testimonies, follow a living prophet of God, and declare on a daily basis, "The gospel's true, for I bear it to you in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen."